It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to Fantasy Premier League Game Week 37. It's goals imminent time where we mine the Fantasy Football Scout goals and assist members area stats to try and predict future returns. My name is Joe and today I'm joined by Mark, who is filling in for Tom. Mark, how are you?
Hi Joe. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Not too bad. Season's entering its final weeks, penultimate round. Yeah. So it's that weird stage of the season where the sun is out and you're looking to the summer.
Indeed, it is very sunny here out west in England. And I've got all of those injuries, those key injuries, Fernandez, Doubts, Maguire out for the season, Cher out for the season. They've all hit me. And only wildcarded 2 weeks ago. So so I've got to use my transfers rectifying that. So I'm hopeful that this show will give me some ideas because there'll be some low-owned differential and under-the-radar picks here. And then, obviously, you know, looking at Game Week 38, I know Fantasy Football Scout will have a lot of content around those differentials there. And before we go on, just a reminder, do press that like button. It does help us out. And do remember to subscribe wherever you're listening to this, and also subscribe via our YouTube channel as well, so you can keep up to date with our latest videos. Okay, what we do, I'm going to see how these tables got on last week here. So I'll read them out, and then I'll sort of come to you with some of these names and see if they're still worth considering. Tony at Brentford, Brentford player, Brentford striker, just for now. I'll stop here, actually. I mean, is Tony a differential for some, not for 37, because he's just got a single fixture, but 38 home to Newcastle could be his last game.
It could be his last game. I don't know how sentimental it is compared to some of the other ones involving the likes of Klopp or something. I don't know how Brentford fans feel about Tony's very public sort of plea to the clubs. He's goalless in his last 9 starts as well. So it really would be a differential that sort of goes against the numbers. But he is on penalties, and the Newcastle defence is sort of a bit hit and miss, more of a miss these days. So it could work, but only for the final day. I probably wouldn't do it for this week.
Okay. Next name's Chris Wood. Oh, I still think it's a good option. He didn't do us proud there, but it may be seen if he's still on the tables for this week. But home game against Chelsea and away to Burnley, finish the season. I think he's okay if you need, perhaps if you're not bench boosting, you can perhaps bench this week, play him in 38.
Yeah, that match against Burnley on the final day, it might not, by kickoff, it might not be the crunch game that the new club is hoping for anymore. But there's still a game to be won there. Wood missed a couple of big ones against Man City, didn't he? And I think he hit the woodwork against Sheffield United. So he's done everything but score. So it's definitely imminent for him.
Yeah.
And he does have the final day fixture.
Yes, indeed. Next one, Munez as well. So it's the same theme of sort of cheap, under-the-radar strikers. He's not really under the radar, just low-owned. People aren't going for him. With a home game against Man City, you probably think he won't. No one's going to get him for 37. Away to Luton, though, game week 38. Once again, if you're looking for a cheap striker, if you perhaps want to get Salah in and you want to free up some funds, I think he's a pretty good one to get for game week 38.
Yeah, because maybe someone, if you don't fancy Isak's Brentford fixture, or maybe it's time for Jackson to go or something like that. Yeah, there could be a slot there for that. Or maybe there's an early leak about Haaland or something, that there's something to do there. And Fulham are sort of bottom of our fixture ticker on Scout for the past couple of weeks. But That's mostly for this weekend's game. As you say, the final day, it's an appealing fixture against Luton, and they could also be down by then.
Next name's Garnacho. I'm a Bruno Fernandes owner, so I have an option if Bruno Fernandes isn't fit of moving down to Garnacho, but I don't want any Manchester United attack without Bruno Fernandes. I know they were poor and they've got injuries elsewhere. No one man carries a team, but I think in Bruno Fernandes' case, he can sort of get them goals where even if they lose, they can still have periods of a game where they're doing okay. But yeah, Garnacho, he's a bit of a, it's just like a, if you've got him, keep him, but I wouldn't encourage anyone to get him in now, would you?
No, when I was sort of planning sort of weeks ago what the wild card was going to look like Garnacho was always in there as the fifth option, and then it was just really appealing at one point, but I don't know, like some things go in and out of fashion, don't they? And he has gone out because he was quiet against Palace, as they all were, but then he had loads of sort of, yeah, I think he had three big chances in the two before that. So maybe it's harsh to be writing him off, but I see what you mean. Because I feel like there's, if you don't have a team with Salah in there, there's money around and probably always someone you'd want more.
Next name is Salah, who's on the goals imminent table. And I did say last week, whenever he's on the goals imminent table, he usually drops off because he scores a lot. And he's done that in the style here. He's got a goal, got two assists, got a handsome haul there in that game. Game week 37, I guess he is an option against Villa, but it's really that game week 38 fixture. I was hoping to have two free transfers in 38, but injuries have conspired. So I'll probably have to take a hit this week in 37 to make the bench boost effective. And I'm probably going to have to take a hit in game week 38 as well if I want to get Salah in. So it doesn't make any sense really for me to take a -8 with nothing really left to go, and also some good players. I have to take out a good player for Salah, so probably not for me, but I think it could be for other people, because I do think Salah in game week 38 is a really good captaincy option. Is Salah, is he in your possible plans to bring in, or is it just you're not going to be able to go there even if you wanted to?
I hadn't really thought about it because there's so many popular midfielders who already have good game week 38 games. So Son and possibly Richarlison as well have Sheffield United. Palmer has Bournemouth, and then sort of Man City at home, West Ham, and also, you know, Arsenal at home to Everton. There's already a bit of a waiting list to come into the team for that game. So sort of never really thought about Salah, but you're right. We just saw it the weekend, what he can do. And to have him is almost a differential in sort of an emotional goodbye Klopp sort of day. You definitely see it paying off, totally.
Yeah, I can as well. I think Arsenal and Liverpool are the ones to target in game week 38. Arguably, Arsenal this time around as well, facing Manchester United in 37. Next name on the list is Pedro. He didn't let us down either. So we've had big success with Salah last week. Pedro was another. He got his... Brighton looked much better. They brought in lots more experienced players. You have players playing in their sort of right positions as well. Adingra was on fire. And Pedro looked good. He was really pleased to see him, like, G-ing the crowd up, trying to get them going, and, you know, looked on it. Missed his penalty. Rather, his penalty was saved, but he got the rebound in. So as far as he and logically anyone who actually follows football is concerned, Brighton, he scored a penalty, basically. He scored a goal. So he got the goal there. But if you own him in FPL, you've got a -2 and then a +4. So just +2 for that. So you possibly wouldn't be so happy. But I think he's a good option. I think Brighton, I don't think they're going to win against Newcastle or Chelsea or Manchester. I think they could win against Manchester United. But I think they could give one of Newcastle or Chelsea a good go. They are used to playing Newcastle, as you know, as a Newcastle fan, in not just the Premier League recently, but at lower level as well in the Championship. There was quite a rivalry between the year we both went up. So there's history. There's not any needle there. You know, it's not like a derby when they're miles away. But there's history in terms of them facing each other a number of times recently.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day about how sort of Newcastle won the championship that year, but it was basically Brighton's lead was huge going into the last couple of games.
As soon as we got promoted, you know, got at least second secure, they just so went on holiday. And they don't think we won a single game after that point, in which case Newcastle just went, ooh, and suddenly, oh, we're champions now.
Yeah, and we were both happy ultimately to get back up there. But I guess that season there was a bit of a, you know, wishing the other one would lose all the way.
Yeah.
And that does build it up. Yeah, and I know you beat us quite handsomely in the earlier game with Ferguson Patrick. But then last May, basically the same time, Newcastle secured Champions League football with like a 4-1 or something. Yeah. So don't know which one this is going to be. I think you're right. I think
it's goals.
That Villa game sort of halted the bad form a bit, and it was sort of a reminder that actually Brighton have a huge say in who gets those European spots.
Yeah.
Like facing all three.
Oh wow, yeah.
6th, 7th, 8th. So it'd be really fascinating to see how it goes. Mm. So if you could sort of rest against Newcastle and really go for it against Chelsea, that would mean a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. We'll see. I hope we beat Newcastle. No, actually, do you know what? I hope we beat Chelsea more. So Sterling, speaking of Chelsea, Sterling's there. I'm just going to skirt over him because no one's going to get him in. He's not first choice. I don't even know if he's fit. So he's just not a relevance for us as PR managers. I'll quickly speed through the assist sim and then I'll just go back to a couple of names. So I'll read these out. It's a list of failure. So we predicted assists. We didn't get any, but we did get a goal from Robertson at Liverpool, which is good. Fernandes at Manchester United obviously didn't play. Odegaard at Burnley. Eriksen at Manchester United didn't do well, but these are sort of Hail Mary picks anyway. Pereira at Fulham, no one's going to be interested there. Foden at Man City, that was disappointing. Actually, did he get an assist? I can't recall.
I think he did.
Okay. I've been unfair to the table there. I think because he was in my team and I got returns from everyone except Edison. So yes, apologies to Foden there and those around him. Yes, he got an assist. So if you're about to write in the thing, hey, hang on a minute, you've got a cross by Foden. That's an error. Madison at Tottenham. He could have done it in the second half. It looked a bit better. Could be back in the side. Lewis at Man City won't get a start, but game week 38 could do. I imagine Willian at Fulham, he's not guaranteed to start. And Pascal Gross at Brighton, a bit like Pedro, could be an option. Pascal Gross almost scored in that game. Worth noting that he has a good record against Manchester United, who plays in 38. I think if I was to go for a Brighton midfielder, Gross would definitely be in my top two to go for. Of all of those names there, was any sort of spark any interest or perhaps could be options for either 37 or 38?
Foden and Fernandes are quite highly owned, so they of course are strong options. And with Fernandes, it was, I think we all kind of assumed that he would have made that Palace game. We thought it was going to be one of those managerial comments where he's a doubt, but he's so vital to them that he would definitely play. If he hasn't, he didn't. So it'd be very interesting to know what his status for the double is.
Foden, I think, is there's so many other options, aren't there, with other teams that are doubling, that Foden, people know he's good, but it's no one's really speaking about him. I think he's actually a captaincy option.
Could be, to be fair. I mean, double game week for a talent like that who, you know, until he only got an assist at the weekend, he either gets benched or scores a hat-trick at the moment. So that's kind of good if you want to captain someone like that. And I think the only other name there that stands out is, as you say, sort of Gross, because he has the double that Madison has as well. But I feel that Gross has more roots. Okay. Has a lot of roots to the points and things. He had that disallowed goal, as you say. So, quite like him.
Yeah, I mean, there's talk. I mean, this could even be his final season for Brighton. I mean, he's been for 2018, I think. And so he's had a very good long career at Brighton. So there's rumours that he might go back to Germany, I guess, if not this next season, the season afterwards. So, yeah, could be his final season. Final game could be Manchester United at home, if he does so well. Okay, let's move on to next week's goals imminent table. As is recently, there's not many names on it, so I'll sort of go through them, but there's a couple to pull out, and we've already spoken about them, really. Chris Wood is top here, so he's very, very due a goal. He's had five big chances, fluffed them all, a couple of shots on target, nine shots, every single one of them at close range. He should have got at least two goals, according to the XG stats. Garnacho's next on the list. He's had three big chances, fluffed them all, six shots on target, 14 shots, every single one of them at close range. That's really good. Muniz at Fulham, 14 shots, all bar one from close range, seven of those on target. Like Garnacho, he should have got at least a goal over this period. Garnacho should have got at least a goal over this period. Muniz should have got at least two goals. He actually did score one. Pedro's still on this table, so he's still very much due, despite his goal. He's had four big chances, missed three of them, but scored one. One goal, obviously, three shots on target. He's actually had 15 shots over his last four matches, which has gone unnoticed because people just have been maligning Brighton, perhaps fairly, you know, in their style of play. But nevertheless, he's had 15 shots, 13 from close range, and Tony's next, just seven shots, five from close range, four on target. So out of all of this, I think the headline things is good to see Garnacho there. He's going to be in a number of teams. People will be warmed by that. And good to see Pedro there, who I've started to see in quite a few drafts.
Yes, yeah, that was his... I think he'd scored 10 penalties from 10 in all competitions on that one. So it was a bit of an out of character for him to miss that. So yeah, you'd imagine he stays on them. Despite that,
yeah, but I mean, he's still got a goal from his penalty.
Yeah, he still did as well. So for that price as well, if that does enable Salah elsewhere, and you can bench boost with that, such a cheap forward as well. So many, he's one of the best forwards overall for penalty area touches. As you say, he's had lots of shots there. He's Brighton seem rejuvenated now. Then I think those three defenses coming up can be got at completely.
Yeah, I was just going to have a look here. I didn't put the... I mean, basically, Pedro is low-owned. So I didn't put the exact ownership on, but I'm just quickly looking at that now. Pedro, he's in 6% of teams, so still very much a differential. And I would imagine a lot of that 6% are sort of dead teams that gave up at the beginning, because he was very popular at the beginning of the season. So people might have given up a bit early. There, so I think out of engaged managers, his ownership will still be pretty low there. Let's move on to assists imminent, the latest one here for game week 37. At the top is Bruno Fernandes, who I'm pleased to see there. 19 chances created, 21 corners. He scored five goals in his last four matches, got an assist as well. And he's on this table because he's only got the one assist. If you get two, you're off the table. He should have got at least one more. And he's had nine successful crosses. I mean, I've been searching every day because all my transfer depends on this, what I do with him. And I've been searching. I can't see any images of them training. I haven't. Have you heard anything? Is he fit?
Absolutely nothing. Wondering the same as a fellow owner of him. It's tough. It was so strange that he did miss that last game that sort of don't even know what makes sense in the world anymore. So I don't even want to guess.
So your whole sense of reality is gone because he's missed a game through injury.
Left is right, yeah. Up is down. Who honestly knows? And even if Ten Hag gave a positive update, we've seen managers. Do we even trust managers? I don't know.
No, well, some managers, yes, some managers, no. As your colleague Neil will know, when we do the team news, there are some that tell porcupines sometimes. There's the next two names on assists imminent, I'm going to say together, because I have an option of getting both in, which would be very un-me, because it's quite exciting. So anyway, it's Alexander-Arnold. It costs 8.4. He's got a great fixture in Game Week 38 at home for Wolves, but it's a pretty good fixture against Villa, who will be just days after their crunch European game. He's had six chances in the last four matches, taken 10 corners. He has scored, and he's had seven successful crosses. No assists, but should have got at least one. He's 8.4. In order to get him in, and if Fernandes isn't fit, I'd quite fancy getting a dinger in. He looked great in the last fixture. He's created six chances, no goals or assists, and just that one successful cross. He's a really good make weight. He's got two fixtures. Whilst I don't think Brighton are going to win either of their 37 games, I think they will score, and I think he could be likely. And his ownership, well, let's have a look at his ownership then. Adingra is in 0.5% of teams, so you're getting pretty much 100%. Of getting on for 100% of his points. So if he got a goal, that's just plus seven, and you're not going to get that from a captaining Haaland. So yeah, I mean, yeah, do any of these players appeal, those two?
Well, I also really like Adingra. I'm starting to get vague memories of, was there a week early in the season, yeah, where we were talking about, I think we both had him as a differential, yeah, and he scored. The winner. So think very fondly of him because of that. And yeah, the stats from the Villa game, you know, he set up five chances, a couple of big ones, four shots on target. He would have had an assist if Pedro scored that penalty. He was going foul. So he's an intriguing differential, especially if, yeah, you mean, he plays twice, and if he unlocks a Trent, who, he's the most expensive defender and he can't keep a clean sheet, but despite that, he's more than that, really.
Now, if I don't go for the very exciting Alexander-Arnold-Adingra combination, I've got another exciting option that I might go for. I'm very, very tempted by, which is the next name, Robertson at Liverpool. Fond memories of him towards the end of the season, doing well. He's got two goals his last four matches, seven successful crosses. He should have got going on for an assist over that four matches. And he's created 11 chances, taking 18 corners. If I got him, I could then get Bruno Fernandes to Richarlison, which I think is also exciting. And I think I may prefer, because both of them have good fixtures in 38. And obviously Richarlison's got a double and probably, I don't even know if it's a better double, but I guess the Burnley game makes it a better double compared to Brighton's. But yeah, Robertson, 6.5, he's certainly a bit more budget friendly than Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah, yes, he is. It's, you know, it's almost 2 million saved. So if that's what your other transfer hinges on, it's probably worth doing.
Yeah.
But you know, now he's back in the team, and sort of the threat of sort of Tsimikas, or I think that sometimes Gomez go at left back maybe as well. So yeah. I think at this stage of the season, Klopp's just going to play his best 11 for the final two matches, go out on a high.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Robertson has been coming off around 70 minutes or so, which is another thing in his favour, actually, because then you haven't got that nervous wait for a clean sheet if they've kept one up until then, in the last 20 minutes. And they have been known to concede. Okay, next couple of names. I've got to sort of sketch over some of these, and then it's the final name on this list I'll sort of dwell on a bit. Pereira at Fulham. I don't think people go for them. Just mention his stats. He's taking 12 corners, seven chances created. Should have got an assist over this period. Has actually got two goals. Harrison at Everton. Everton, a favourable fixture at Sheffield United, 5.5. A lot of interest in their defence. But it could be one of their attackers that does well. Harrison's created seven chances and a couple of successful crosses. Should have got an assist over this period. No assists or goals, though, over his last four matches. Lewis at Man City, I mentioned, really. Possibly one for Game Week 38 if you need a make weight to get some money. Palmer at Chelsea. Now, he's one I do want to dwell on because he's captainable. He's certainly one of the best players, probably, outside of Haaland, one of the most reliable captaincy picks at the moment. Certainly going to probably get the armband from me with my current team in Game Week 38, I would imagine, at home to Bournemouth. He's still credibly only 6.2 million. He created nine chances, has 11 corners, five goals in his last four matches, but just one assist. And he should have got at least an assist more than that. So Palmer, I guess the two issues are do we captain him game week 37? And because everyone owns him or he's on their radar if they don't. But game week 38, I think he is the captain to get in game week 38.
Yeah, he could be. I haven't thought that far ahead for game week 38, but certainly for this one coming up, it's like, if you own him and don't captain him, you're already sort of cheering against him. That's how template he is. I know last week, sort of like, he's in the team, but he's like down for the rank. I think his goal knocked it down. So captaining him over Haaland, if Haaland hadn't just scored 4 goals in a match, it might have been a more competitive armband race. Mm. But there's nothing wrong with going Palmer at all, really. He's a good shout. Harrison's a real surprise.
Yeah.
No, that's come from.
McNeil was on these tables until he wasn't, because he kept scoring or kept getting returns.
Yeah, and McNeil himself is a maverick pick, but Harrison even more so. That's what
it's all about, these tables. So game week 38, I've got Palmer in mind to be my captain there, and there's going to be a lot of talk there. But another thing we do on this show also sort of looks ahead a bit more, really, as well. So those who are under the radar, names to keep considering there. Well, thanks a lot for joining me, Mark. Just before we go, is there any other sort of differentials you've got your eye on in game week 37?
I think it's good timing with the Fernandez doubt, because although in fairness, even if he wasn't a doubt, you know, I'm sort of looking at the Man United fixtures and thinking, did they only buy him for that Burnley game? Because the fixtures aren't great for them, and certainly the form isn't. So quite like Chelsea's Madueke.
Yeah.
But the big problem there is a lot of people have already got 3 Chelseas.
Yeah, me included.
So that kind of restricts that. He would have been quite an interesting one. And beyond that, Richarlison, if that probably counts as differential.
I was just looking at his ownership, because he was the bane of my life not owning him a few months ago, and he kept scoring. And he was like 20% owned, 30% owned. I mean, he was around me. And it was really hurting my rank. He's only 2.9% owned. That's going to go up, obviously. But it's not going to go up like hugely, you know, as in like, it's not going to suddenly be like 50% owned, you know, in the next day or two. So, I think for me, if Fernandez is injured, I will potentially take a hit. And I think I do like that Robertson and Richarlison double up. I don't mind. There's no other defenders I can get I like. And if Fernandez is fit, I've still got Harry Maguire problem. I'll probably have to get someone like Tarkowski or something. And that doesn't excite me at all. Robertson does excite me. But I can't afford him unless I get rid of Fernandez. But that's an age old problem for us FPL managers. Mark, thanks for joining me. Just a reminder to everyone, do press that like button, and everyone do subscribe so you can update with our latest videos and podcasts. Good luck with the game week. Good luck picking any differentials and or well-owned players alike. And see you soon.
Bye.